Hi there, welcome back to Inside the Mind, the podcast where artists can talk freely about their vision and art. Today, we are joined by cellist Annabelle Hook, winner of the first prize of the International Encore competition, to discuss the history of the cello and her vision as a performer. Enjoy. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the cello?
The cello is an instrument that was built and developed around the 17th, 16th century in Italy, in North Italy. And it's part of the string family with the violin, the viola da gamba, the viola, the double bass. And it started developing the old instruments around 1650. They're still sometimes really big. And the shape we have nowadays, on which we mostly play, was only developed in the beginning of the 18th century. So, for example, the cello I'm playing from probably Grangino was cut later. So it's in the shape of the instrument, how it developed. So, and another thing that changed in the beginning, it was played also in processions. That means that you can see on the back sometimes a little dot with an extra piece of wood, and probably they had it around the neck so they could walk and play at the same time. So then later it developed to sit down, and an end pin was also added. And for example, the Baroque cello, it has gut strings. So back then the strings were made out of gut and it didn't have an end pin, and the Baroque bow also changed the shape. So in this time, it was mostly played in chambers or in smaller venues than nowadays the concert hall are, like with thousands of people. And there you need more tension from the instrument. So the physics of it changed. The bow, for example, was straight, and now it's a little bit convex. So there's more tension on the hair of the horses, on the bow hair. And yeah, so these are mostly the features, I would say, that have developed. And since about 250 years, we have one cello type, which is composed for since. Yeah.
Have you ever like played on a different cello, like for example, a Baroque cello?
A Baroque cello? Yeah, I have. Actually, I'm studying now. Starting the fall, I will also study Baroque cello. And it's a totally different type of playing. Like, you really have to learn it. It's a different discipline, I would say. Not only the technical part, but also the phrasing. The musical part is also different. How you interpret the Baroque music. It's a whole different genre. And yeah, so I built a cello I have, I changed to a Baroque instrument, which doesn't properly work because the proper Baroque instrument has also a different shape, which I cannot change. But things like the, like taking away the end pin, taking a different bow, putting on gut strings, that's, or also different tailpiece in the bottom, that are things you can change with any instrument. And that's what I do. And yeah.
How different is the technique between like a classical cello and a Baroque cello?
The classical, I would say, for example, the vibrato. In Baroque music, it's an ornament. So you don't use it all the time, only for special things, for special notes or harmonies. And in the classical music, we use it almost all the time. Actually, we should not use it so much as we do, I think, but we use it way more in the general playing. Like if you play Elgar cello concerto, it's special if you don't vibrate, let's put it like this. And the sound is much different. There's what I said, much more power on the modern instruments, whereas the Baroque music, it's rather less sound. But I find personally that the colors on Baroque instruments are more various. So I find also more soulful in the Baroque music. Yeah.
You talked about like modifying, if I understood correctly, your cello to make it like a Baroque cello. How do you do that? Like, do you found pieces, like, or someone who makes the pieces for you, the ones that you talked about, or do you make them yourself?
No, I buy them. Like the gut strings, you can buy at any luthier or online. And for example, from Pirastro, or the tailpiece, I also buy from a luthier. And the end pin, you just take out and you can put something different on the bottom. So, yeah. And the Baroque bow, I also buy. So, it's all things you can let done. Yeah.
Talking about techniques, like, are there certain playing techniques that are more recent than others?
Yes, for sure. Like if you listen to old recordings, let's say 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you can see how the playing has changed. I would say if I listen to old recordings from the old masters, they use vibrato also in a different way. They slide differently and more, I would say. And what I realized with the cellists, for example, they sit way more still. All they move is what is necessary to create the sound. So sometimes you only see the arms moving and the hands, of course, but not so much the head and swinging. What nowadays I think is way more often. And besides this, if we talk about bow technique or left hand technique, I would say we have different types, different schools, but in the end, it's physics and it's nothing new. It has been the same cello 100 years ago than it is today. So the techniques might have developed, but I think the roots we have already back then.
How does the sound changes depending on which cello you play? Like, even if it's a classical one, but it's not the same branding, for example.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the instrument itself is the tool you use to create the sound. So, I've played on different instruments, and I must say that I prefer the old instrument, the historical instruments. So far, at least, my experience is that they have a little bit more own character. And I played on new instruments also, and they're a little bit more like a white wall on which you can paint. But it's not like they have a personality and you work with that, I think. So you put more your own ideas on top of it. Yeah, but I mean, I always play on my instrument, so I'm not changing around.
How many instruments do you have?
Well, the one I play, the Grangino, is my main instrument. I don't own it. It's from the German Music Foundation. And I do have two cellos at home, which my father actually made. So I one of them I built to a Baroque cello now. But I don't play them much, just when I'm at home.
What difference would you say you can find in your playing when you have to perform in a church compared to in a concert hall, for example?
I think the acoustic of a church you can use very well for your advantage. I think most musicians love playing in rather boomy halls or churches. And when I play in a church, it's mostly Bach. So for me, it is also a spiritual performance in some ways. In a concert hall, it also depends. There's so many different types. You from a living room to a salon to a rather big town hall to a church also to big concert halls. So you have really different types. So you kind of adjust to the environment. When I play in a salon concert, which I really like, it's really personal. And You can talk to the audience after or even during the concert. And that's a type of experience I really enjoy. When I play in a bigger hall, it's a little bit like you're an actor in a theater and you have to be aware that you reach the last person of the concert hall. So you try to communicate in a little bit different way and be aware of the sound and articulation, that it really reaches the last person of the hall and also the first row. And in a church, it's, yeah, a different approach, I would say. Yeah, I don't only play for the audience, but maybe also for something else, you know?
How do you prepare yourself for a concert?
Yeah, that's a good question. It depends. So sometimes I play a program which I have played many times. And when I'm busy, for example, I make sure a few weeks before that this difficult passage is still in my fingers, or let's retake this piece and go through it in the mind and listen to some recordings and have it kind of in the mind and also in the hands. So, as I said, practicing rather difficult passages and having it in the pocket somehow. And when it's a really important concert, I also do recordings for myself before. So I play it through many times, also for friends, or I try to organize little concerts here in my school, Mozarteum, so I get a little bit more in the flow of playing.
You have performed pieces from Bach to Schumann. Is there one composer which you find is the most challenging to interpret his work or her work, and why?
Yeah, I personally find Bach still the most challenging, I must say. It's like the suites. There are also the gamba sonatas I play. They're also pretty difficult, but the suites for me are somehow, yeah, interpretation, the intellect, the tension over the suites, the spiritual part, the many, many, many different ways of musicians playing them. And also playing Bach suites by heart for me is a really big challenge. Although, for example, like the sixth suite I have played many times now for several years, I still feel uncomfortable playing it in front of an audience, I must say. It's, yeah, that's a really big challenge for me. And besides this, I think it's Bach. Yeah.
Why is it such a challenge for you? Like, is it memorizing like the entire piece?
Yeah, I think because there's really complex harmony. Harmonically, it's really complex and it's so dense. So it's a lot in a short time, let's say. And there's no melodies really, maybe in the slow movements, but I wouldn't call it melodies. So, for example, when I play Schumann, your ear knows, your ear sings it with you. Or concertos, like, or let's say the romantic concertos, you just follow, you have it inside of you. But the Bach suites, it's different. It's a challenge to know everything. Although you played many, 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 many times.
You played with several conductors and musicians, obviously. How do you adapt yourself to other people's vision of the pieces you are playing together?
So let's say when I play chamber music, which I do mostly, for example, yesterday I had a rehearsal with a pianist and we've never played before. And we played the Beethoven fourth sonata for the very first time. And then together for the first time. I've played it before many times. And then you have your ideas, you worked on it, you make your mind about how you want it to play, how you want to interpret. And then you play together. And like, oh, okay. So here you go forward, but I would say the harmony needs a little bit more space. So you start talking about it and you find a solution, and maybe your colleague says, oh, that's a great idea, let's try. Or he says, yeah, but I think let's just go through because the next point is just 2 bars later, and there we can do it. So you try different ways, and then in the end you decide what you like. And sometimes you don't even make a decision. You say, okay, we have these possibilities. And when we play, when we perform, we listen to each other and we spontaneously play. But there's always a way. And you have to offer something. You have to know how you want to play it on one hand. And on the other hand, you have to accept and like to take new ideas.
Finally, last question. If you have to release one album, with whom would you collaborate and which pieces would make the cut?
This is a question I cannot answer right now. Because I have different things in my mind, but there's nothing concrete with who and which pieces, kind of, but I don't want to say too much. Okay, I can tell you that I started recording the Bach suites, and I really want to record all of them in the next years. So this is something for sure. The thing with the Bach suites is that everybody, there's so many recordings already. So as a young musician, it's easier, I would say, to start with a CD, which with a program that is not played so much, and not create the 100th CD of the Bach suites, you know. But this is my personal goal, and I have also a master CD project with the Brahms Sonata in F major with my pianist Yuni Tahara in Mozarteum we do in October, and also a SWR recording with the radio in November, and BR Classic next year also recording, where the program isn't decided yet. So that's how much I can say at this point.
Do you have concerts that are coming up?
Yes, tomorrow we play the Dvorak Piano Quintet, which I love so much, here at Mozarteum. End of June, I will be playing in Afflens in Austria, and beginning of July in Ostfriesland at a festival called Gezeitenfest. End of July in Bayreuth, during the Bayreuther Festspiele, and I'm also very much looking forward to play in the Rachmaninoff Villa in August, where I will play with Martin Neubauer and, of course, Rachmaninoff Sonata and so on. Yeah, that's the some summer plans.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Annabelle, for taking the time to talk with me. It's such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the questions.
Thank you.
This is all for today. A huge thanks again to Annabelle for agreeing to talk with me and to let us explore her world with the cello. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.